This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Yanis Shinas and Max Cohen. This is our post-match Old Foam's 0-0 draw against Brentford. We have a lot to talk about in regards to that match. We'll have some other topics as well because I want to get the thoughts of both guys. I haven't talked to them in a while about where Fulham are right now. I'm calling them mid-table mediocrity. I'll get their thoughts on that. Also want to get their thoughts on the situation with Tosin, with Marco not even involving him at all, which I find fascinating. So we'll talk about that. A lot to get to. As always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other Fulham supporters find us. Okay. Well, let's go to my co-host. It's been a while. First, Mr. Cohen, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Russ. Mid-table mediocrity, I think that's one way to look at it. And we are mid-table, but we're also relaxed. There's no stress. We're staying in the Premier League, and that is an accomplishment in of itself, given it's our second season up since promotion. I think we'll talk a lot more later about how this season has petered out, which I agree. It's completely anticlimactic, but in a way, let's remember the path for, literally from 2017 until 2023, essentially, we had a nervous May. The good nerves or bad nerves. Finally, we can enjoy a May when it's just neutral. And I think that is something we need to keep mind of, given how fickle the Premier League is. And let's just thank God we're not Luton Town. We're not in Forest right now.
I totally agree with that, Max, but I have some different thoughts when it comes to being where we are. I understand where you're coming from. Also joining us is Floyd Aite's cat, who's in disguise. Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing?
Hello, sir. Yeah, I got better ratings than Tosin yesterday. That's all I'm going to say. And we're going to finish above Bus Stop United. And the jokes aside, I'm very happy with mid-table. Okay. And I agree with Max. It's quite a sensible, reliable, lots of able stuff. But we're fairly safe. And you know what? I take little small mercies, like two consecutive road clean sheets, West Ham and Brentford. A game last week against Palace, we could have won. Yeah, we lost at Forest. But there are lots of places to play for. And we're only 2 points behind Wolves.
That's right.
And yeah, I'd have taken 12th or 13th this year, even 14th. It means we're fairly safe. Let's put things in perspective. We're 18 points clear of 18th. So, I mean, that's, let's say with goal difference, that's the equivalent of 7 games. So that's, I think, with the loss of Micho, you know, at the Brentford game, I think we've done pretty well this year. So looking forward to the close season when hopefully Brian Talbot, you notice I'm not going to mention the ownership, Brian yep. Talbot is going to bring in some good players and make us even stronger.
Okay, very good. I'll share my thoughts in just a couple minutes on that. I appreciate the thoughts of both of you. Let me share some comments. This is from our friend Chris Goodwin, who I'm sure will be dropping off shortly to watch Liverpool play. Greetings to the three wise men of Fulham. Thank you very much there, Chris. Also, this is from David Perry. Agree with Max here. The goal isn't Europe. As our captain said, the first goal is to establish the team as a stable Premier League team. Interesting comment, David. I understand that, and I respect Max and Giannis's thoughts, but now I'm going to jump in and share my thoughts. I've already talked about this on Cottage Talk. So for me, I understand being comfortable. I agree with both of you. It's better to be comfortable than to have a situation being in a relegation battle, and we're far from that, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Giannis. But here's my thoughts on that. It's progression. They've overcome some really interesting odds with the situation with Mitro this summer. I think we'll both agree with that. Well, all three of us will agree with that. But here's the thing. With a team that has been assembled, with players coming through, with players improving, I'm talking about Rodrigo Muniz and so many others, the addition of Alex Iwobi, there are some good players, Castagna really establishing himself. And they're beating the teams that they could not beat last season. The issue I have, guys, is why have they dropped points against the teams they beat last season? So for me, they kind of flipped it. I see improvement, but the table doesn't lie. They are worse than they were last season. So have they gotten to a point where they've basically established themselves, Max, like you said? Or is this a sign of trouble? So that's kind of where I'm at with being mid-table. Mid-table is comfortable, but does it show more cracks? Does it concern you? Because I remember the season before Fulham got relegated, they were in a similar situation. They were petering out at the end of the season, and then it all fell apart. So I guess as an optimist, I'm actually being a little bit more negative on this, Max, because I'm concerned that being mid-table the way they are is not pushing them forward, because I'm looking at last season and looking at this season and thinking this team's better than last season, I think, but the record is worse. So I guess I'm a little bit concerned about being mid-table.
I love that you brought up that summer of before we got relegated at 2012, 2013. I think that's a great comparison to where we are now.
Right.
I love that comparison, but I'm going to disagree with one thing you said at the end there. You said this team is better than our team last season. I disagree.
Okay.
I think, you know, it's not a very hard thing to argue, but I mean, Mitro, it's not some kind of hot take. We lost Mitrovic. We lost our focal point in attack. And if you look at the match against Brentford and the chances that went begging, and listen, I don't want to call out Jimenez too much because we've done enough of that on this show this year, but that was awful. And I like Muniz, but I think what we said a month ago, I said, are we seeing a player who's arrived as one of the best players in the Premier League, or are you seeing a good player with potential having one of the best spells of his career? And I think it's pretty clear on the evidence of the past couple of weeks is that that was not a fluke, but it was a hot spell. It was a purple patch, and he's returned to a bit more of form. We don't have a striker, Ross, and that's why I think this summer is important. Chris says in the comments, it's so true, we need progression and ambition. We need to treat this summer like a do-or-die moment in our future, because I agree, if we continue on this path, you know, you can't get too comfortable in the Prem. The league keeps getting better. So on one hand, I think we need to respect our position right now, right? We need to respect.
Right.
We're 12th right now, 12th or 11th, in the best league in the world with the most competitive teams. That's a feat. That is an accomplishment, right? You know, the fact that we're not even worried right now in May, that is a win for Fulham. But we have to be strengthening, because it's not going to be like that forever. And if we stand still and let our team age without, you know, getting new players in, then that's when you get in trouble.
Right, Max. But again, to Chris's point, it all is going to be about progression and the owners backing Fulham this summer and showing the ambition that I want them to. And I've got criticized for my ambition. My ambition is higher than I think the owner's ambition, than I think most fans' ambition. Most fans' ambition is, well, let's just get to Europe, Russ. Let's make it in the top 10. We can't do much better than that. And I'm going to say, I want more than that, Max. I don't want mid-table mediocrity. I don't want just Europe. I want better for Fulham. I want Fulham to contend for it all, my friend. And if the league changes to the point where they put in this new system that might allow them to compete more, then it's going to be on ownership to put Fulham the best position to succeed. If the financial constraints are going to change, if everything is going to change, if there's going to be something new in place that will have a spending cap in place, like they're talking about, I don't know what that's going to look like, but if it's some difference that's going to bring everyone back closer to each other, then Fulham might have a chance to do more, Max. And I want them to show more ambition. I think mediocrity, talking about mid-table mediocrity, scares me because you can get comfortable there. I want them to strive for more. Did you get where I'm going? And then I'll go to Giannis.
I agree 100%. I think we should strive for more. My point is, before we talk to Giannis, is that where we are as a club, we recently got promoted. And I understand some teams have gotten promoted from the championship and have kicked on and finished way above. But we didn't think we'd be here. You know, the 2022-23 season, last season, I think all of us would have agreed, hey, we'll take 1 point above the relegation zone. You know, we'll take the bare minimum. And we exceeded expectations. This year, I think we took a step back, perhaps. But we're still very early on in the rebuilding project for what Marco wants to see for Fulham, in my opinion. And then I think we can kick on in, you know, 5 or so years to being a team that could compete for top 8 or top 7. But right now, I think it's all about staying in the league and top half. That's what I think realistically Fulham can aim for in the short term.
Okay, very good. Giannis, what are your thoughts about all this? Listen, you've been following Fulham for a lot longer than Max and myself, and I know how the English game has been played for generations. It's always been about the big six. Well, if the proposed changes come along, maybe something can change there. Wouldn't it be nice for you to be able to watch Fulham strive for more than just survival, maybe contend for Europe? And I guess I'm concerned about the fact that they could get comfortable just being mid-table. And when you're comfortable, Giannis, where's your ambition? And my concern is this summer, as Chris Goodwin mentioned earlier, they have to show serious ambition. They need to back this team and back Marco.
Well, I'm humble in the sense there's a lot of people going to listen on the website. Went down to Torquay United for, you know, League Two or Division, right, or Division Three, and how we were playing in front of crowds of 3,000 and how bad that was. And that really, really was beyond compare about how poor club we were going to merge with QPR, and we had no money, and we had the Ernie Clay years and what have you. There's a couple of things I measure this on. Firstly, I'm wondering if there's ever been a year where we've had so many players leave during international break. I think that when we break, you know, we've probably got four members of the squad left to play with the U21s and 18s, because everybody travelling around the world is absolutely is brilliant. But which I'm really, really proud of. I mean, players like, let's use a player like Luc de Fougeron, you know, just got his first cap for Canada. And you look at the starting 11 and, you know, players like Diop and Tosin aren't playing, but the rest, you know, most of the rest are actually playing. So that's testament to the club, number one. Number two, the African Nations Cup. Now, I know Chris is on the line right now. And I think we seem to take a step back when we lost Bassey, you know, when we lost Iwobi after the Christmas break. I know we've been Arsenal. And that really, that hurt us. Now, any Liverpool fan will tell you, Salah has not come back the same player since the African Nations Cup. And, you know, you've got to be careful what you wish for. I know there was one chairman in Italy who said, I won't sign any African players because I know they'll bugger off the African Nations Cup, which is not something you want to hear. But I sort of get his point, because you want to be able to put out the strongest lineup. I think Fulham are what we are. We are a pretty safe club. When we got to the Europa League final against Atletico, that was just a miracle of miracles, like when we got the cup final in 75.
Right.
We take our small mercies. We get our little lovely little victories, like, you know, knocking off, doing the double on what the Spammers. We've done much better in London derbies this year, by the way. That's one huge, huge fillip. Beating Tottenham, Drew two draws against Palace, one against Brentford, knocking off Arsenal, Boxing Day. And the notion of losing to Burnley, well, Burnley have always been, tough for us. Like, we're a red herring for Brighton. They can't beat us. Nottingham Forest, I think that was a fluke. I really do, because we hammered them at home. We just had a bad first 20, 25 minutes. But overall, I think we've done pretty well. The rumour mill started, guys. I did see one name. I had to laugh. I did see one name this week that if we got him, and I think because I think William might be gone, I'd suddenly go, okay, we mean business. And there are rumours that we might put a bid in for Zaha.
I knew you were going to bring that up, Giannis.
And if we get him, now we're beginning to talk shop, because he's a game changer. He's not had the greatest time at Galatasaray. William, does he sign another contract? Could do. Just as likely, he goes back to Brazil. So if we can get a Zaha as a replacement, that is really, really good news. Above all, put your money where your mouth is. We've got three good clubs are going to come up. Ipswich, by the way, Ben Bloom, if you're listening, all the Tractor Boy fans, many congrats. Leicester, deserved champions of the championship. We've got three good clubs going to come up. And it's going to be even more competitive next year. So we have to be ready, and we have to get the right players and hopefully get them in early.
Okay, very good. Listen, Giannis, I always respect you for what you've been through with Fulham Football Club. So you do put everything into perspective. You see how far we were down and where we've come from, and where we are now. So you can really respect this. I guess maybe I always want a little bit more from my club. That's just how I'm wired. I want more. And when I first became a Fulham supporter, I asked the question, why can't Fulham do more? And people basically said, know your place in English football. Fulham are who they are. They're too small. They're never going to be more than who they are. And I understand that to a point, but like I said, if the financial situations change a little bit, maybe that opens up an opportunity for more. And that's what I'm hoping for. But I do want, again, guys, to talk a little bit about ownership before we move on, because we're talking about ambition. Do you back this ownership to do the right thing, Max? Because I'm going to say this right now. Now, I got to tell you, I was thoroughly embarrassed by what I watched from Tony Khan and his father being on AEW. That was embarrassing to me. And then to see Tony Khan on the NFL draft wearing a neck brace from being involved in AEW. They represent Fulham Football Club. They're the owners of Fulham Football Club. And it really, for me, very embarrassing, extremely embarrassing to watch this and thinking, these are the people making the decisions on our club. There's something wrong here, Max. And I really have my doubts about this ownership. I've had them for a while. I've said my piece on that. But what are your thoughts about all that? Does that give you reason for pause when it comes to what they might do this summer, where you have them having all this interest in AEW and, oh, by the way, the Jaguars, and maybe Fulham are down the road?
One clarifying question, because I tried to tune this stuff out because I just get so angry about it.
Sure.
So the neck brace, I saw that. I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't even do my research. Was he actually injured, or was it part of the kind of the joke?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest on that part. Okay. I don't know if he's truly injured, but come on, it is professional wrestling.
No, because if he's injured in a fake show, I mean, that might just be the funniest thing I've ever heard. That's hilarious.
okay.
The alternative also is just as funny. If he's pretending to be injured in a fake show, that's also bizarre. Either way, I think, Russ, I mean, me, Giannis, and you have talked about this. I think one of the more consistent voices in the Fulham media sphere. I remember saying so many times during the 2018-19 season, it's like, if you can't give Fulham your full respect, then we feel cheated. You know, if we're a Premier League team and our owners have their head turned, and I think, what we saw of them taking part is definitely an escalation. At least Shahid Khan, you know, that doesn't do that. I mean, Tony, that's one thing. But at the same time, yes, we lost Mitro, and yes, I think we have issues with the transfer market, but this is without a doubt the most successful era of the Khan ownership. Now, we can disagree, and I think there are strong disagreements among, a lot of the fan base about the ticket prices, which I think have a lot of validity to it. I'm going to respect that. So there's been the most descent, I think, clearly what we saw this year. But if you look at results in the pitch, which I think is that's our job as a podcast to focus on first and foremost results, this has been unparalleled success for the Cons. So it is kind of a weird situation, right? Because it's easy for us to sit here and say when we're in the relegation zone, you know, angry rant against Tony and the transfer policies, which I think was valid then. But I don't want to be in the position of defending because I think I have issues. But, like, things are going well on the pitch for Fulham. Now, you're right. If this season is going to be a big test for us, this offseason, the summer. And I agree. If their attention is on a stunt with wrestling or a below mediocre football team in Florida, then that's going to be an issue. But what I think we've seen recently in the Marco Silva era is that Marco has more control over transfers than we've seen before, right?
This is true. I believe that to be true, so, Max, and I've heard that too.
I think there have been shifts in the way the Cons operate Fulham, right? And, you know, we talked about the Paulinho situation where it was really Marco the one driving that. I'm sure the Willian situation was also very Marco-driven, right? He has this bond with players, you know, who speak Portuguese, who he can connect to. In a way that, think about that. When Tony took over in the Slavisa, remember the constant fighting? Would we ever sign the player in his late mid to late 30s who had been a flop for Arsenal and gone back to Brazil? No, it never would have happened. That would never have – remember the two box system? So I think taking a step back from this, you know, the Cons have shown a willingness to change, which I think is important, and the results in the pitch are good. So, you know, almost – if that wrestling situation had taken part, you know, when we were in a relegation season, I would have been apoplectic, furious. It happened now. It didn't even really register on my radar that much because we're not going to go down in the Prem. So I think that's something to take into account. His results are good. So maybe we can excuse some of this, you know, buffoonery because we're staying in the Prem.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
No worries. I want to get your thoughts on this, Giannis. Before I do, I'm just going to share some comments that are kind of going along with Max. This is from our friend Colm Bugler. I don't like what the Cons are doing, but I'm clever enough to realize that with other owners, it could be a whole lot worse, and that's a fair point. This is from David Perry backing Max here. I think we have a lot to be fair here. Max is right. I've been a supporter since 2008, and outside of the 2010 team, isn't the era the best we've seen? They took a step back last year. Lots to do in the summer. Okay. All right. Giannis, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. It's interesting that and Max put it perfectly. It is utter buffoonery. I mean, the Jacksonville Jags have, for those who don't know, they've got this generational quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, and he's surrounded them with scrubs. And he's a super player. I don't think they know their heads from their arses, frankly. I was going to make a joke about he crooked his neck because he was reaching for the box of Kleenex. But I tell you, but I did think of something earlier about the improvements to the main stand and the swimming pools and what have you.
Yeah,
it's I'm beginning to warm to it, not because regular fans will be able to afford to go. None of us will be able to afford to go. But what it could become is like a hot spot, night spot place. And London, of course, is full of them. And what better way than to take all your, you know, your champion clients out or, you know, go out on professional dinners than go to a Michelin star chef, you know, staffed venue that's on top of a soccer, you know, a soccer stadium. And I think it's if that money ends up filtering back to the field, especially when we have a salary cap where we're going to be on a more equal playing field, it may just work. What I want to see less of is, as Max has said, the buffoonery of the ownership sitting there like one-legged chickens. This is a serious football club, and the beauty of Fulham fans is that we won't take this seriously. We'll just look at it and go, oh, you bunch of idiots. That's what we'll do. We won't go up and down about it. We won't get too upset about it because Fulham fans are sensible fans. We know the game. We know where we've come from. We know where we are. And we'll just look at these two little extrovert owners and go, well, we put up with the Michael Jackson statue. Right. I mean, could, you know, Muhammad Al-Fayed was brilliant. we remember the days of Clay and Bulstrode and those idiots back in the 70s. And then we just go, well, as long as they put money into our club, as long as they look after our fans, they look after our players and look after a club that's been around since 1879, really, they can go and jump off mountains without parachutes, as long as the money is in the bank account. So it is regrettable, as Max said, and it is a bit embarrassing. But as long as it doesn't take away from this club, Jacksonville can go and fly a kite. AEW can go fly kites. All I care about is Fulham, frankly.
Me too, Giannis, and that's what bothers me. That's all I care about. I don't care about any of that other stuff. And listen, to be fair, David Perry commented here, and the report was Tony did indeed get hurt. Who knows? I don't know. And so if Tony did get hurt, I'm sorry, Tony did get hurt. But you know what? I don't know, because it's professional wrestling. I don't know. I just don't like that you actually had an event the night before, and you actually, I thought that was embarrassing. The neck brace thing might be a little bit different. Fine, I apologize for that comment, because I don't know enough. I shouldn't have said anything about the neck brace, but what happened the night before, that's all real. I'm talking about the stunt, because it's a stunt to me. I've watched professional wrestling my whole life, and it's not real. It's just not real. Okay, so let's just call what it is. It is fake. It's all staged. So it was all planned beforehand. And if anyone doesn't think so, I don't know what you've been watching. So for me, for them to do that, and for the both of them to be involved, that to me was embarrassing. Anyways, enough talking. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's move on. Let's actually talk about the football. So let me get your opening thoughts on this draw, Max. Were you disappointed by the draw?
We should have won. We were the better side. Brentford, I think, are having a pretty poor season. There's nothing to play for either team other than West London Derby bragging rights. And I thought that we were the more dangerous of the sides. I mean, Iwobi, I thought, was excellent. Jimenez, we talked about his miss. You know, we were having good success getting Iwobi in little pockets of space. Pereira had some nice touches. There weren't a lot of clear-cut chances. I think that's fair to say. It's a 0-0. But of the better chances, it was full. You know, Tony had to resort to kind of falling over in the box to try to do something. I thought we kept him very well under wraps. I know he's not in good form, but still he's a good player. It felt so much like a May Premier League match between two teams with nothing to play for. And that was really tough to watch at times, but I thought it was an energetic first half. And then the second half came on. Traore, great appearance by Adama Traore. I thought he was excellent as well. Wish we could have seen more of him in the final match of the season. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, neither team did enough to win, but we were the better side.
Okay. I actually echo that. I will agree with everything that you said, Max. I thought Fulham were the better side, but did they truly do enough to win the match? Probably not. Well, obviously you have the opportunity from Raul Jimenez, which we'll talk about during the show. Over to you, Giannis. What were your thoughts about the 0-0 draw? Giannis, you with us?
I'm here. Oh. Sorry, turn me. One section of the bus stop ground didn't have many fans, so they couldn't even fill out the joint. I like Brentford. I think they've had a difficult season, and I thought it was going to be a difficult game. And you never know with Ivan Toney what he's going to do. And I noticed they left Brissa on the bench, but they played him and Boema up front. And even though they lost Matthias Jensen before the kickoff, I thought it was going to be a difficult game. So I would have taken a 0-0. I agree with Max. I think we had chances to win it. But a 0-0 draw in a difficult place where it's been a little bit of a graveyard for us. I've been to a few games against Brentford at Griffin Park, and it was never pleasant to go down there, trust me. I'll take the draw. Brentford look, I mean, they look like they're almost waiting for the Ivan Toney transfer to happen. And it was a little bit of a snooze fest in the second half, but we're going to finish above them. We'll take the draw. And then let's hope, you know, if neck brace notwithstanding, Tony Khan's got any connections, he gets Hulk Hogan into the changing room next week, gets the boys pumped for City. Because I'll tell you what, this should be a game we should absolutely go at and give them absolute hell. hell. And I don't like Arsenal, as you know. But right. Let's have a real bloody go at them in front of a packed house. That's why we're in the Premier League. 13th, 17th, or 3rd. So, but 0-0, I'll take it. We could have won it. Didn't. But I'll take the draw and run.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, listen, I'm not against getting a point anytime you can get a point on the road. But it's against Brentford. I was hoping for better. But you know what? I think both of you make good points why it was only a draw. So, let's move on. Let's talk about the starting 11. Giannis, I'll go right back to you. Thoughts on the starting 11, and let's just talk a little bit about also the fact that Tosin's not involved, and I want to get your thoughts on that. Haven't talked to you guys since the last two matches where he's not been involved at all. It's funny because I was of the belief, and I'll just say it right now, that you play your best players that give you the best chance to win regardless of their contract status. Well, Marco's made a decision to leave him out. And you know what? I respect that. I totally respect that because maybe in his mind, he doesn't give Fulham the best chance to win because he's not invested in Fulham. So that's a little bit different. If he's invested, if he still is going to be a professional out there, then I think Tosin gives you a good chance to win. But if Marco doesn't feel that way and feels that he's already made up his mind that his mind is not with Fulham anymore, then I think he's made the right decision. Yeah. So your thoughts on the starting 11 and also the situation with Tosin?
Absolutely agree. It was interesting. Tony Gale in the commentary yesterday talked about the fact that Tosin might have come down. And I know you're going to start laughing at this, but he might have come down with the same bug that meant that Harrison Reed was out yesterday. Now, I hope personally that Harrison Reed is gets well soon, because I would put him in ahead of Pereira next Saturday against City. I want a war next week. I want us to go out there and give them absolute bollocks hell. The lineup itself, no questions, no debates. I wanted to take a look at the Castagna Diop partnership.
Okay.
And I noticed a couple of things yesterday. There was spatting between the two, but I think that's a good thing because they've not played that often this year. Castagna, hey, what a year he's had, you know, considering that he's made the right back shirt his own. Lukic and Polina, it's great to see. If you look back to the Forest game, you know, being subbed, and then they bounced back beautifully. Close to our strongest side, and it's a shame in a way because Willian had a terrible first half.
He did.
Couldn't do anything right. But overall, it's close to our strongest lineup, and we were up against a team that I would probably say had close to their strongest lineup. I without Mateus Jensen, good side, and I thought with our lineup we would at least get a point.
Okay, very good. Yes. Before I go to Max, I want to ask your thoughts about Canadian international Luke de Figueroa's, because I'm of the belief, Giannis, that he could actually stick next season and be a factor in potentially even starting. That's how much I believe in de Figueroa's. Am I crazy to feel that way?
No, you're not. But I think, well, that's going to depend if we've got Diop and Bassi, we've got Tim Ream as well. Does Marco send him out early season on a loan to a championship team? Because he's still pretty raw and young. And the problem would be if you put him in, he's predominantly plays left, then you'd have to take Bassi out. And we really missed Bassi at the African Nations Cup. He makes a huge difference to what we do. There was a moment yesterday, which I think sums it up, second half.
Yep.
Where Mikkel Damsgaard got the ball. There was an error and he was basically on goal, but you've got Bassi and you had Amada Traore chasing down like leopards. He had a 5-yard head start and it didn't mean a damn job because they caught up with him. Bassi is so bloody quick. That left-sided defence with Bassi and Robinson is an absolute joy to watch. Yep. Athleticism at its absolute finest and its absolute highest. And DeFuzio's going to need some more experience, but I'd like to see him in the preseason tour. I don't think the club said anything about where they're going to go. I'd like to see him get some games and maybe championship. A la Stansfield. And see if he, because Stansfield's one of those players I think is must be knocking on the door for next year. And Championship, even though they got relegated yesterday, Birmingham, he'll help. And I think for Difusio, a nice loan in the Championship would help.
Okay. Over to you, Max. Your thoughts on the starting 11 and the situation with Tosin?
Yeah, the Tosin one's interesting. You know, I like that Marco's asserting his dominance here. He's saying, I'm the gaffer. You're not going to respect Fulham. You're not going to sign a contract. You know, why should you play? It's easy to do that when these matches mean nothing, right? I think if we're in a relegation dogfight, Tosin's right. The first name of the team sheet. So it's all a bit silly. I mean, listen, Tosin, he's been a kind of an arrogant figure, I think, for a long time that he's been at Fulham. I think he doesn't quite realize that he wasn't much when we signed him from City. Well, he never made a real appearance. We got a great deal on him. And under Fulham, we made him into a very desirable center back who the top clubs want. I understand why he has bigger ambitions, whatever, but I'd caution him and say, listen, you think you're going to get in the team at one of these bigger clubs, you know? So it's not nice to see that from Tosin, someone who Fulham has given an opportunity to, but I'm with Marco. I stand with Marco. It's a meaningless final matches of the season. You know, you want to show the other players in the team as well, right?
Right.
Listen, this is what happens when you don't respect the badge. That being said, it is kind of a weird precedent at the end of the day, right? Because, you know, what if we have a player who scores 25 goals a season and City want him, right? And then he decides not to sign a new contract, and we would understand that. We're just not going to play him? I think it has to do something more with Tosin's attitude, which we don't know about. Maybe something right. Behind the scenes. Because, you know, we have to be realistic that we're a team who's not going to challenge for titles, and he thinks he has that in him, whatever. Apart from that, yeah, as Yana said, starting 11, normal. You know, Castagna again, shutting out Tete. I would like to see more Tom Kearney, honestly.
See, I'm there with you on that.
That's the only thing I'd say. Where's Tom?
I do get what Yanis was talking about, Sasa Lukic, but I was thinking Tom Kearney to start in that match. I just thought that he gives us a little bit more creativity in the middle. That's all. Yeah. But I do understand, though, why he picked Lukic, because it's a London derby against Brentford. That makes sense, but I do like Kearney in certain instances to start, Max.
I agree. I think he adds a different type of drive, and he was getting a good spell of matches, I feel, towards the middle of the season. And he's fallen off recently. I'm not quite sure what's that attributed to. He hasn't really gotten a sniff.
Right.
Also, let's talk about Harry Wilson for a bit. We don't talk about him a lot nowadays.
No.
Remember how good he was against Brighton a couple months ago? But he can't seem to nail down a starting spot. He might be someone who's looking for the exits in the summer, because I think he has the right to be a little bit frustrated. You know, he's not our most consistent performer, but the minutes he's getting, I don't think he'll be happy with that. And he might move to a team, you know, maybe a team like Ipswich, who just came up, would want to take a risk on him.
Interesting.
Because he's very peripheral.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. A very good point about Harry Wilson. Okay. Coming up next, the guys and myself break down this match, first half and the second half, and we'll end with man of the match. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Okay, Mr. Janaeus, I'm going to go to you first. Let's talk about the first half. We've talked a little bit about it, but what's interesting about this is that I thought Fulham were the better side in the first half, controlled the play, but had nothing to show for it. What are your thoughts about the first half, and what stood out from you? Did anything stand out from you in the first half?
Funnily enough, you say that. I think the one thing that stood out for me is how lost Ivan Toney looked.
Interesting.
because he doesn't look the same player. Was I missing a beat here, the boat or whatever? I thought Diop did a very good job on him. I thought we had some good possession. It was nice to see Lukic getting involved, making deep runs. I'm a huge fan of his. If you see what he did at Torino, we're getting close to him in terms of that kind of form, and he was outstanding. If we were to keep Polinia next year, and I still think there's a good chance that would happen, this is a really dynamic duo in the centre of the park that are going to be very, very difficult to break down. And I thought he had a very good first half. I didn't really ever think that they troubled us. The one player that worried me was Mbeumo. I think he's an outstanding player. Yep. But didn't really get a look in. And as I said, Tony didn't. And I just didn't think that Damsgaard could win the battle in the middle in terms of the work rate, which is one thing that Pereira does give you. Pereira is a very, very hardworking player. He tracks back. He's got a good turn of pace. His shooting's a bit negligent, to be honest. It really should be a little bit more accurate. But first half, I didn't really feel that we were in danger of conceding. I thought it could be one of those 90-second minute winners from Tony just to do us in. But I thought it was a decent first half, and 0-0 was about the right score at halftime.
Okay, excellent. Over to you, Max. What are your thoughts and your analysis of the first half?
I think this is another half that showed Alex Iwobi is turning out to be a great signing. He's one finish away from being one of the best players I think we have, because the positions he gets into it and his passing in the final third and his movement and his creativity, I love it. I feel he always has an eye for a pass, and he's always moving after that pass. And he's always bright and energetic. And that's just what I love to see in attackers. The finishing wasn't there. I know he had that dipping one that just maybe skimmed the top of the crossbar. And then he played a lovely one too, coming in from the right, but just kind of put his left-footed shot right at the keeper. But he was really bright. I thought that was our best attacking threat was through Iwobi. And then, credit to Bassi for tracking back Mbeumo when he had that that breakaway that hit off the bar, right? That was the other big chance of the half, in the sense where I'm not sure if that shot was threatening Leno, but the deflection really sent everyone scrambling. And then the other instance was, Willian kind of playing two lovely, lovely balls to the other team.
Yeah, that was interesting, Max. But getting back to Iwobi, I'm glad that you brought up Alex Iwobi. I'm a huge Iwobi fan. He's probably my favorite player right now. But I also think that there's a reason why we have Iwobi. He shows his ability. Definitely, you could see the influence going back to Arsenal, why he was an Arsenal player all the way at youth level and then obviously got moved to Everton. But I think you're seeing it's just the finishing, Max. I think it comes down to the finishing. If he was a better finisher, I don't think he'd be at Fulham.
I think that's a great point. I think that's what affects so many of our players. And you could say the thing about Fulham in general is that if we had consistent performers who were excellent, well, then we wouldn't be 12th in the league. So is it surprising a team made up of players who are good but not consistently good?
That's right.
Mid-table team. But that being said, again, I want to go back. I don't want to disrespect the Premier League the way I think some fans are, because mid-table is still something to be proud of. And I understand. Sure. I understand the need for progression, which we talked about. I don't want to recap the first half of the show, but come on, we're still staying up.
Okay, Max. We are. We're very comfortable. Listen, I'm being a negative Nancy for some reason. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've been very negative lately. I don't know why I've been cranky Russ lately, but I've been very cranky. So you know me as being a very optimistic person. And
Russ, how many points did you predict for the final run-in versus how many we have?
Oh, see, I got that all wrong, Max. See, maybe that's what it is.
We all did. We all did.
Listen, I'm predicting – a run for Europe, and look how wrong I was. I predicted seventh. Dan Crawford, our friend, continues to remind me that I predicted seventh all the time. Dan, if you're listening, I understand I got it wrong. Okay, all right. Let's move on. That's pretty funny. Let's talk about the second half. And Max, I'll go to you first. I want to get your thoughts about the second half, and obviously, I want to get your thoughts about the opportunity from Jimenez, because Fulham should have won the match with that. I don't think there's any question on that. They should have won the match. It's there for them. with that opportunity. But just overall, your thoughts about the second half?
My main thought about the second half is Adama Traore is just excellent off the bench, and maybe he can start. I don't know yet, but having him come on with tired legs in the opposition is just, it's a joy to watch. And he was at the heart of everything we did in that second half, coming off the right wing. You know, of course, his cross was the one that led to the Jimenez miss, the big, big chance, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But there weren't that many clear-cut chances in the second half. I think that kind of is the story of the game. It was, first half was maybe a bit open. Second half, we didn't do enough to win, but we were the side asking all the questions. A 0-0, a classic 0-0. Now, the final minute, I think, packed a lot of excitement in the stoppage time.
Right. You know,
the Tony penalty shout. And then we went up the other end, and that really felt like, okay, maybe this is more of a cup tie. But apart from that, you know, not classic vintage Premier League viewing.
Okay. I'm glad that you brought that up at the very end of the match, because I'm going to go to Yanis. Yanis, I want to get your overall analysis of the second half. But I was thinking about talking to you guys about the two penalty shouts from Brentford. I'm going to call crap on both of them. I think it's in both cases – the Brentford player in the second one, it's Tony, is basically just trying to force it to become a penalty. I saw the whole thing with he's holding my arm like something out of Caddyshack. Mm-hmm. Oh, my arm. I'm like, shut the F up. That was not a penalty, Giannis. Neither situation was a penalty. In fact, the first one was worse because that was total simulation. But the Tony thing was more like, I'm going to create this. They both were. I hate players that do this, Giannis. I want to get your thoughts on their two shouts for a penalty.
Couldn't agree more. Absolute bogus. And Ivan Tony's a big, strong lad. He doesn't need to be any theatrics and what have you. I think the only thing for us as England fans is that because UEFA just announced that they'll be allowing three more players to add to the squad, so there'll be 26 players that can go to the Euros in Germany. Tony will probably, I think Tony will make it. Tony's the best penalty taker in the Premier League, bar none. And if he gets you a penalty, it's in the back of the net. And we're adept enough at being crap at penalties that I'd take him just for that. You know, just like I'd take a James Ward-Prowse, because you never know when you might need a free kick. If we'd lost to that would have been daylight robbery. But then we've been victim of that. We've benefited from that. I really don't think that Brentford can come away from there and go, oh, we should have beaten them, that lot. No. Tony Gale put it very succinctly, I think. Really, our main rivals are Chelsea. Brentford's main rivals are the Ha-Has. But for some reason, in the last few years, the rivalry's really ratcheted up.
Can you explain that to me, Giannis, why that is so?
I don't know. It's come really from the Brentford fans, not from us.
Okay.
And I don't in any respect disrespect for Brentford, because, you know, considering their location, they're a pretty small club, but they've built a nice little stadium there. They've got a good little team. They're a Premier League team, and they deserve to be in the Premier League. I've got no complaints. There's a number of players
totally
that I really like.
Huh? I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a nice team, and they've got a good coach as well, even though he looks a bit like Joachim Löw, and we know all about him. but they're a good club, Brentford. They're well run, and I don't have any complaints there. And I think 0-0. Yeah, we had chances. Jimenez will kick himself silly for that miss, but unfortunately, that's indicative of the fact that his confidence is so low. And I hope we play him against Luton. I think Traore will start against Luton, but I and that might be a complete nothing game, because if Forest get that 2 points they're appealing at the moment, then Luton will be relegated before next Saturday. And so that game, now if Luton get a win next week, I don't know they're playing, but if they do, then a win against us could help. But the problem is going to be goal difference. The goal difference is vastly inferior to Forest. So it may be one of those, you know, people showing up in red noses and clown outfits and just a good party day out down at Kenilworth Road, which is sort of a paradox, because Kenilworth Road is the absolute, you know, you're not having parties there, trust me. But if it comes to that, then change the lineup, put Traore in, put Jimenez in, give Tete a game, Get Harrison Reading, Kearney, Bobby Dacre-Dobery, get them all in, let them go and have a laugh for the last game of the season. But we shall see.
Okay, very good. Max, back to you, because while Giannis is talking about the situation with Jimenez, what I realized, what goes back to the beginning of the show and me just being a cranky old man talking about mid-table mediocrity, it comes down to the situation with Raul Jimenez, not having Mitrovic. It goes all the way back to that. Mitrovic scores there, Max. I hate to go there. I'm nothing against Rodrigo Muniz. Maybe he does as well, but this is the issue. Going back to not getting a striker to replace Mitrovic is the ultimate reason they're in mid-table.
Exactly. Exactly. Cannot agree more. We've missed Mitrovic so much this year, and yes, there have been times when other strikers have stepped into his shoes, but I mean, can we just imagine if we had him for all 38 matches, where we'd be in the table? So there are two ways to look at it, right? We could look at, oh, wow, we could have been eighth or ninth with Mitro. The other way to look at it is, wow, you know, some people thought we'd be relegated without him.
I know.
And we showed ourselves to be more than just a Mitro club. So, you know, you can either see glass half full or glass half empty here. But come on, let's talk about that miss. I saw a great tweet, and it said he had his own postcode. You know, he was so wide open in that moment. Listen, I know the ball's coming to him fast. It's really hard to keep that down. But we said it so many times about Jimenez, right? He's a striker. That's his job. And he has the quality. But what really – honestly, guys, let's talk about this. What really made me a little bit upset was, you know, the camera kept cutting to him after the miss, which makes sense. But he looked genuinely torn up about it. Like, he looked legitimately upset. And that made – you know, as podcasters, as supporters – it does give us pause. Like, these are real humans we're talking about sometimes.
Of course.
Yes, man. Jimenez, I think, has put in the endeavor this season. Second, like, he tries so hard, and no one can accuse him of being lazy. I think that's what, when us fans, we get the most upset is when we think players aren't giving their all for the shirt. He is, and that makes it all the more kind of baffling why his finishing boots have just deserted him. You know, he signed. He knew he thought he was going to be the replacement for Mitro, and suddenly this 20-something-year-old Brazilian kid has supplanted him. That can't be good for the confidence. You bring in another striker in January on loan. That can't be good. So, I don't know. I don't really know what to say about Jimenez anymore. I'm at loss words because I want to go after him for that terrible miss. But then we just talked about how, you know, he's a human being who came back, obviously, from a terrible injury.
Right.
But you remember that early in the season, he started off poorly, and then he hit a really good run of form.
He did.
And then he got that wretched red against City, which he will explain to you
Newcastle.
What he did.
Against Newcastle.
It's Newcastle. I think I would keep Jimenez. I would keep him because I think you've got to have, you know, Muniz is only 22 years of age, and it's going to take, someone like an Alan Shearer will tell you, it takes time to develop as a striker. Case in point, Evan Ferguson of Brighton. He has struggled this year. Last year, he was the next big thing. Are you going to change your allegiance to play for England like Declan Rice did? No, I won't. Da, da, da. He's been a shadow of his poor self. The kid is only 19.
Right.
You know, so Muniz has got a long, long way to go. And with Jimenez, he doesn't just have the you know, the experiences at Wolves, but he's a legendary Mexican striker. He's got the experience in terms of mentorship that can support. And that's why I think, you know, I love the fact that he was cut up about it, not because I want him to be miserable, but because that's how much he cares. And early in the season, when he was in form, he would have finished that. He's just, at the moment, he's in that low point. And this is where Marco and the coaches have to get together and say, well, it's a 32-year-old striker. No. Whether you're 37 or 17, you hate missing those chances. Give him some more minutes. Tell him, look, we believe in you. You've got a big role in this club. Finagle a little bit and make sure he's okay. I did, you know, I was jumping up and down when he missed it, but then when the camera did keep cutting, you think, oh yeah, as Max said, yeah, he's a human. He's bleeding like the rest of us, and he wants to do well. And I do wish him well. And do we need another striker? Yes, we do, but trying to find those, as you know, is needle. And don't forget, we've got Vinicius coming back next year.
Right. Good point there. Yeah. It's good point.
Yeah. I mean, and we can't, we can't, no one wants to imagine. Vinicius serves a purpose. Can we go with those three strikers again next year if we tighten up another areas? Possibly.
Okay. Very good. All right, guys, to end the show quickly, let's do man of the match. Who's your man of the match, Max?
Awobi.
Okay.
Awobi.
Awobi. If you're watching live, feel free to share who is your man of the match. How about you, Giannis? Who was man of the match?
Bassi. I thought he was. He looked very, very comfortable. Awobi. I like Awobi, but he frustrates me. You know, there was that one cheeky flick he did to Willian in the second half. He chips in the odd goal. I think he's got five this year. But sometimes his passing leaves a lot to be desired. His decision making, to me, needs to improve. And if you talk to Everton fans about this, and they'll just be laughing right now and going, yeah, Iwobi's got so much potential. He did at Arsenal, for crying out loud, but it's his consistency. If he could get a level of consistency where you really feel he can take control of games. I remember a game when we played Arsenal, was it back in the pandemic, maybe? And we lost 4-2 to them? Or was it Everton we lost 4-2 to? And Iwobi scored two, and he had an absolute blinder. And I thought, this is a guy that can grab a team, but you know, grab a game by the scruff of the neck. He's in and out of that. If we can get more consistency with that, we've got a real player there. And just all we need is somebody on that left if Willian leaves. So, Mr. Khan, if you're watching, that comment about the box of tissues, it was just a joke. Wilfried Zaha, get him in, mate.
Okay. Very good. All right. Great show, guys. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a long time since we've done a show. So, Max, as always, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Ross. Always great to be on. And yeah, let's have a good final two matches of the season. Let's spoil the title race.
Yay! Absolutely. I'm all for that. Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing? And again, hopefully next time you can join us and, you know, we can actually see you. Hopefully everything will be better the next time we see you.
Yeah. So what happened, telling the listeners, I was visiting a school on Friday, and cut long story short, I slipped on a crack in the road and I literally landed flat on my face. So I didn't break my nose, but I bruised it up, and I've got a moustache that looks like Hitler, which isn't good, a blood moustache. But that's why I wasn't on camera today. But yeah, looking forward to next week. City, I'm really hopeful for this game. I want to see some tackles flying in. Let's do this, boys. Let's do this.
Okay. Well, just so everyone knows, we will have a post-match show for the next two matches. The three of us hopefully can be back together. Mm-hmm. If we can all get together, that'd be great for the next two matches. So I hope everyone can watch us live. Anyways, well, let's end this episode of Cutters Talk. As always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other film supporters find us. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. As always, thank you to my co-hosts, Max Cohen and Giannis Janaeus. I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cutters Talk, part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured, you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.